Amen. Amen. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be in the Holy Ghost headquarters of God, being able to address the angels that sit in the pews. I want to thank y'all for the opportunity. I want to thank the elders, the ministers, the deacons, the minister of the church. I want to thank the musicians, our ministers of music, and everyone that soup and serve in the kingdom. I want to thank y'all for this opportunity to be able to impart to you the bread of eternal life from my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom praise is our due forever.
Amen.
I want to address you today on a subject that is very, very powerful and very dear to me. I want you to understand Job wasn't the only one that suffered persecution, hardships in this life. We all can share some part of his suffering. But I want to point to you the value of suffering for Christ's sake. And I want you to understand that we're here because God has been better to us than we've been to ourselves. I want you to know it ain't because we thought we can get up, we made plans for tomorrow. It's that God saw fit to watch, let the angels stand by your bedside. Kept watch over that old heartbeat of yours. And allowed you with his finger of love to touch you and let your eyes crack to see another day unpromised. This is the day that the Lord has made according to the six-string harp player by the name of David. He began to talk about in 118 number Psalm verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, whether you rejoice or not, because storms do come. Sometimes heartache and disappointment do come. But hold, the songwriter say, hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes and dreams on that which is eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that whatever trial and tribulation we go through in this timely side of life, God is in the blessing and saving business. God allowed trials and tribulations to come your way for a reason, to groom you and mold and fashion you for the master's hand. Come on. I love God. And me and my wife love the Lord. And I want y'all to just pause for a moment, and wife, would you please stand? This is my lovely better half. And Lord, have mercy. Amen. We go through our roller coaster ride too. Amen. Don't never think that the devil don't challenge you in your relationship. But one thing I did learn, that in a relationship, you should be able to understand and have more compassion, more understanding, more long-suffering. You have to learn to be compromisable. You have to learn how to give and get. You have to learn how to lean and bend. You have to learn the roller coaster ride is not easy. But I want you to get on this roller coaster ride with me. And it's called the gospel train. If you got the biblical instruction before leaving to eternity, I want you to hold your ticket in your hand. For this ride is better than the roller coasters at Six Flags Great America. I want you to understand Job went through a roller coaster ride. But if you got your ticket in your hand, no matter what the storm looked like, the six-string harp player by the name of David said this in Psalms 30 and 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I just want y'all to understand something this evening, that God is God Almighty, and nothing comes your way unless the master allow it to come. Now let me get to my lesson. That's my introductory. Let's get down to the preliminary hearing. Court is now in session. All people, turn your phones off. If it ain't God calling, make sure it ain't God calling. Because you know what? We know if he called, Lord have mercy, you're going to have to answer that call. Here we go. Indeed, and it's an honor to be able to impart to you the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to take for you a moment. And I want to impart to this reading that for edification's sake, that you might be able to hear what thus said the God of heaven. And the recorder in Job chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20. It began the readings of the illustration that your eyes being the windows to the soul, that leadeth intercession with the Spirit. How then, if you gaze upon the pages of inspiration and not hear what thus said the God of heaven? I want to take a little time and I want you to look at this. Then we're going to find out why this statement was made. Then says Job, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, look at the statement he made. He said, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord given, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we're finna find out why he said such a thing. If you check your scriptures and back up to verse number 6 in Job chapter 1, verse number 6. And I want y'all to see carefully and pay attention. Now there was a day when the sons of God came present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Hold on just a minute. Well, the sons of God came before the Lord. Is this right? And Satan came with them. Now imagine this. Satan came with them. They had no clue that Satan was there. This is how the devil come. He was slick. He came right with them. And I know they had to look and say, wait a minute, where he come from? You don't know when the devil going to sneak up behind you. You have no clue of when the devil will come. And the sons of God didn't know that he was there neither. Now let me see what the Lord said to him. And then the Lord said unto Satan, you see, God seen him, he can't sneak up on him, come on. Hast thou considered? He said at verse number 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, he had to answer, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Good God Almighty, the devil is walking to and fro, up and down the earth with us. And guess what? The devil is not a man with a horn, two horns, with a tail and a pitchfork. He's an upright man that put on a suit like me. He's an upright man that talked cleverly, been on his job for a very long time. And he's not after the heathen that's already out in the world. He's after you and I. And I want you to keep in mind and keep in your spiritual mind that the word of God is talking to the church folk, the believer. For the Bible was set at the door for the believer to come in and the unbeliever to stay out. But the unbeliever have an opportunity to come in and hear what thus said the God of heaven. I want y'all to understand this. Keep in mind the devil is after you and I. And I want you to understand that these things, Romans 15, 4, those things were written in for time, was written for our learning. For we, through the patience of the scriptures, might have hope. You got to know, you got to go through something for God to use his great power and sovereign ability to show you that he is God. Don't change your mind. about God because something hit you and hurt you. And I'm about to point out a few things, and I'm on my way to my seat. I want you to know that God allowed this storm to come on his permission. He allowed this to come. And let me show y'all something. Job was an upright man. He done what God told him to do. He was obedient to God's word. He was doing what he was supposed to do. Some of us know I ain't did nothing, but why hell decide to ride my back? I understand some of us are goody two shoes, and I ain't been mistreating nobody. I have not spoken bad about anybody. I haven't done anything that God would be displeased with me. But I want you to know God will test your faith. You ain't got to be doing nothing. Not at all. But God will allow a storm to come and see, can you hold on to me while hell is riding your back? And God did some things to Job. He allowed the devil. Now imagine this. He allowed hell himself to come after you. Satan is hell on wheels. Am I right about it? And he allowed him to come after you. I want you to know tonight, Joseph, I want to take you to Genesis 37 and about verse number 6. And you go there. And I want you to understand something. Other people can cause you hell. I don't want you to think that Job is in this by itself. But we as a people gonna get where we need to be. Now let me show you something in this scripture that I want to point out to you in Genesis 37. Now, the brothers, in verse number 8, Genesis 37 and verse number 8, and it says this, and his brother said to him, sought thou indeed reign over us? Right now, I want y'all to take a good look, and I'm going to break it down for you. The brothers themselves was a little jealous and envious of their brother. Because sometime your father will show a little more favor to a child than the others. But the daddy loved them all the same, just like God deal with us on different levels. But he loved us all the same. You got to understand something tonight. God is sitting high and looking low. He know all and see all. And he said, I searched the heart of man that I might know who he is. Now, you got to understand something. We ain't got no secrets that God don't know nothing about. We could go about life the way we say, I'm grown. This is very devastating. This is a devastating statement that we make as grown-ups and children. I'm grown. I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, and when I want to do it. That is a crippling statement to your spiritual growth. And it's detrimental to your spirit where you will spend eternity. Hell will ride your back off the things that you say. And the things that you do could bring about consequences and repercussions. We got to be careful as individuals and what we think and how we go about doing things. We better do the will of God while we got time on this timely side of life. Amen. Now the brothers, and I want the brothers to pay attention. We all in this together. We on the same team. The jealousy came towards the brother. And guess who sold him out? His brothers. That's hell riding his back. And the hell came through his brothers. He ain't the only one that suffered. the hardships of what we should do as brothers. We should be able to dwell in the house of the Lord in unity, in peace, and our primary objective is the will of God. We don't run the church. We are stewards and keepers of the church. As Jesus told Peter in Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 16, he said, Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We can't do nothing. According to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8, he said you could do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Come on now. So don't think at any point in time we in charge of nothing. God is in charge of his ship, and we are the pilots that do what we're supposed to do. We are the keepers of what we're supposed to do. Don't get beside yourself. Because when you get beside yourself, trouble shortly follows after. Now the brothers thought it that they should kill him because they became envious of him. Now if envy can drive your heart to kill somebody, be careful, because Jesus said, be careful of what pitch you dig, because it's a 50-50 chance that you could be in there first. Be careful on how we treat each other. Be careful on sitting next to somebody in church and you don't like them. In 1 John 4:20, he said, how can a man say that he loved me, a God whom he have not seen, and he see his brother every day? He said he'll lie and the truth ain't in him. Jesus said in St. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. My word is true. And I thank God when he dropped down to verse number 19. He said, I sanctified myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus also suffered hell also in Matthew chapter 27. He ain't the only one. Judas, supposed to have been the friend, and betrayed him. He said, do what you have to. The hour is at hand. Come on now. It doesn't matter what somebody else would do, because Jesus suffered it for our benefit. We got a benefit package. And this is the word of God. Hold to God's unchanging hand and keep the faith. Job went through losing a whole lot of things. He lost his children. He lost everything that he had. Anybody in here lost everything they had, and God gave it back to him greater than what he had before. But you got to endure the test, because it's a test of time. And we only hear, I believe James said in James chapter 4, he said our life is like a vapor of smoke, appear a little while and then vanish away. But I don't want to vanish away from this timely side of life, not knowing that God is God Almighty, and I know him in his entirety. I want y'all to understand something. This story goes along with reality. David caused hell in his own house by looking at a woman from on the rooftop. Ain't got no business looking at no woman no how. And mind you, that David had some wives already, but he had his eye, and it also say that the eyes of man is never satisfied. You better learn to be content with what you got when God give it to you. And if you want something, he said, my people have not because what? They ask not. That's the problem with us today. We wonder, some of us get to a point, I'm going to do it myself this way, that way. Well, he said, because you take it upon yourself to do what you want to do when you want to do it. But this is why God refers to us as little children. You think you know what's best for you, but I'm God Almighty. You don't come to me and ask me, and you done caused yourself some trouble going about it your way. Now when you're down on your knees talking about, Lord, I'm in trouble this evening. I don't know what to do about my situation. Well, I was trying to tell you
through somebody else why you should go this way about it. But you know what? We hard-headed.
We got the characteristics of Peter. Selective hearing. Y'all know about selective hearing. Your mama told you you should have did this, but you went on and did that. Come on now, somebody. I know I got a witness in here. And then again, we go on. We're going to go and say, oh, well, I think, I feel. God don't care about what you think or what you feel. He said, I'm not looking for somebody with lip service. I'm looking for somebody to do the script service, my will. We talking. But I heard James Brown, the great poet, he said, you're like a dumb knife. You just ain't cutting. You're talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. Come on, sister. Guess what's wrong with us? We talking out our mouth, and let me let you know that tongue, he already tell you, is that unruly member, the untamed member in your body. It can cause you a lot of hell, because guess what? The best person, the best example I've seen in the Bible for hell coming down on them was Pharaoh with his mouth. Lord have mercy. Pharaoh telling Moses, I mean, I'm God. I'm going to do it my way. I ain't letting nobody go. And we got people that's stubborn like a jack like that. Come on now. Stubborn. Talking about, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Anybody don't tell me what to do. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We get set in our ways. I run this. Let me pause for a Bible commercial right now. This ain't even in my script, but I want y'all to know the truth. I'm in the house of the Lord, and I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. My wife, I was in the office. Listen to me. I'm 44. I was 44 years old at that time. 44. Y'all hear me? I told her, I made you my housewife. I don't want you to do nothing else. She said, yeah, but you can't come in here dictating to me everything, what you want and when you want and how you want. I said, that's true. It is your job to run the house. I can't bully you on that. But I pay the cost to be the boss. She said, yeah. She said, okay, Mr. Boss Man. She said, I got God too. I said, yeah, I believe that. But I got indignant when she said it, because I got mad she brought the Lord in our discussion. You see what I'm saying? Listen carefully. But I thank God for, because you know what? I had hell in me at that time. And you know what she did? She said, you think you tough. I was sitting there in front of the computer. And I am Bruce Lee, y'all, believe it or not. I learned martial arts in Canton, China. And she told me, she said, you really think you tough? I know y'all finna fall in the flow, but that's all right. She went in the kitchen. I said, yeah, I'm tough. And I was still sitting at that. I ain't had no shirt on. She came in there. I heard her rattling around in the can. She got that silicone spatula. And she came in there and whooped my behind. I couldn't believe it. I was 44 years old. I just didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to respond even. But that's how God will do you. When God gets to whooping you, you don't know what to do or how to respond. You understand? Because when you're being disobedient, God will whoop you. And you better be grateful for the whooping that you get. Because you know what? Back in the Old Testament, he would snuff your candlelight out and everybody that with you, dog, cat, cattle, everything. Am I right about it? Come on now. So learn to accept the whooping that God give you. And you know what? I got a lot of respect for my wife after that, because she put a lot of little black blue marks on me, but she said your little beige behind needed it. It's a good thing. But I got me a ride or die. You understand? That woman said, this is it. This is the end of the line. It's me and you are all against the world. Now, let me tell y'all something else. I was dragging my feet on Mariner. Oh, yeah. I was dragging my feet. She said, let me tell you something. She said, I ain't wasting my time. And I ain't going to waste yours. She said, you could go to the altar voluntarily or whatever condition you end up in front of that judge that you brought it on yourself. I looked at her. I said, I love you, girl. I'm going on in there. So you know what? You bring things on yourself, dragging your feet with God. You understand what I'm saying? Either do it right or don't do it at all. We got to get it together while we got the opportunity. We have the opportunity right now. This very second, this very hour is the only time we got. Do you know Jesus said, don't put off what you could do today, for tomorrow is unpromised. Am I right about it? But we lollygag, half-step, procrastinate, and everything else you want to put in there. And y'all know how we are. But God know you better than I do. God know all of us. I'm not pointing at you. Because if I point at you, I got four fingers pointing back at me. I'm saying something to help all of us. We all in this boat rowing down the White River rampage. We all on this battle together. We're sisters and brothers. We're supposed to be a family. Act like it. When you see your brother down, don't step on him and kick him. Pick him up. Dust him off and encourage him to do better. How you going to pass judgment on somebody according to the Bible in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1? Judge not or be judged. And here we is. We got the beam in our eyes and the mote in the other. Now the beam is a big old log. And the mote is a splinter. He said, get that out of both of y'all eyes and you walk hand in hand, you can make it. But don't pass no judgment. We can't judge each other. We can encourage each other. Because you know what? Be careful how you act in front of people, because you could be entertaining an angel unaware. How we do each other? God ain't pleased. And you know what? We got to get the hell out of us. Because you want to know why? It creates the avenue of why such a great falling away from the church. How are we supposed to fill up the church if we got sin in the camp? We fight amongst ourselves over what? A position and a title. God don't care nothing about our position or title. He don't care nothing about me being no minister. He killed prophets back then and ministers. You didn't care nothing about what you talking about. If you ain't do what I tell you, you done. This ain't no game. This ain't no form of fashion. He tell you in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner some is, but exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You come to the house of God to get correction. And what thing I learned about people, they don't want nobody to correct them. That's why they don't want to hear the word of God to this day. They always got something to say. Don't want no correction. Better learn to accept correction. Because let me tell you, don't discover hell like in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. Don't discover hell is truth, but don't discover the truth about hell too late. That's what happened to the rich man. He discovered the truth about hell too late. And hell is truth. But let us not fall into eternal hell. And it says it's far beyond our wildest imagination. I can't stand the heat that's outside. I can't do it to myself. Y'all understand me? It is very true. We got nerve to pass judgment on each other and say things to each other without even having a conscience of thinking. What are you doing if you could come in here and tell me what I'm doing? God knows the secrets of man's heart. He said, I'm going to judge the secrets. The secrets of man's heart. Doesn't matter who you are. I'm talking to me too, y'all. I was in the kitchen with the cook, the chef. His name was Jesus Christ. You understand? Every lesson I put together is designed for me to learn something. And if I hope that I can say something that could prick your heart to change it. Because you know what? It's a devastation that you bring on needless suffering for your neglect of God's will and stewardship of doing what thus said the God of heaven. It becomes devastating. And even if you ain't doing nothing, you holding on to God like Job, while hell is riding your back, there could come a phone call. And that which you love, let me tell you something that's devastating. How could God ask any of you to kill your child like he did Abraham? And Abraham was going to show enough kill him. But he was in faith that God was going to provide a ram in the bush. It's important, people, to hold to God's unchanging hand whatever storm come your way. Whatever things may cause you to stumble and fall. If it's somebody that's causing you to stumble and fall, pray for them. And you strengthen yourself with the word of God. David said, all the people in 2 Samuel 30 and verse number 6. He said, all the people came against me. But I had to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm coming to a close now. And I want y'all to understand something. It is very, very important that you do what thus said the God of heaven while you have the opportunity. Amen. Timothy said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, has given me in that day. And not unto me only, but to them that love his appearing and his kingdom. Amen. I want you to know tonight, the message is yours, that hell can ride your back. But would you hold to heaven while hell is riding your back? Don't let nothing, as the great, I love Paul because he's great in his speech. He's the Gentile preacher. He began to say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, for we know all things work together for the good of them that love God, and for them that are called according to his purpose. That means no matter what it looked like, it's going to work together for the good of your purpose. It's going to work together for you. No matter how grim and dark the road may look, it's going to work together for your good. And I want you to know that God is good all the time. And all the time, talk to me now. Stony Island Church of Christ, I thank God for the opportunity given unto me by the ministers and the men that soup and serve in here. But the opportunity is now for all of us. As Acts 17:30 say, in the time of ignorance, God winked, now command all men everywhere to repent. So we got to learn now to repent and do like Acts 2:37. He said, men and brethren, what shall I do? And I know Romans 10 and 17 say, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a man believed unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew 10:32 and 33. He say, if you confess me before men, will I also confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And if you deny me before men, I also will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And repentance, we must repent. Acts 2:38, and be baptized for the remission of our sin. The lesson is yours. And I will turn it over to the elders of the church.
Let us stand, just as I am, 380. J. Jehovah.